Bible school, we had to learn. We learned Greek, and I didn't take Hebrew, but Hebrew was a requirement as well. I had hard enough time with English. But William Tyndale translated. He was a priest that translated the Bible into the English language. And when they translated, it wasn't no printing press at the time. They were doing it all by hand, writing it. And there are three Bibles that line up with the King James Bible. There's the Great Bible, the William Tyndale Bible, and Wycliffe. There are three Bibles, if I'm right, is they line up with the King James Bible. And the devil tries to say, what's the big deal about the Bible? What's the big deal about having the Bible? What's the big deal about reading the Bible? Old saying is, you can't enslave people that know that book. Right. You can't enslave them. People say, if you read the Bible, you'll get brainwashed. No, you'll get your heart washed. That's what happened. Yeah. William Tyndale was born in 1495 in Gloucester, England, a place where people had from many different countries would travel to trade. By 1512, he had graduated from Oxford University and had studied at college. Tyndale then studied theology at Cambridge University and became a priest in the Catholic Church. He began to realize, the Catholic Church tries to say their church goes all the way back to the Apostle Peter, which is a lie. They try to say they have the oldest manuscripts, which is another lie. They had the Vaticanus, and they had the Sinaiticus. And they were two corrupt versions of the Bible, and they came out of Alexandria, Egypt. Our Bible here that we have in our hand came from Antioch, Syria. It came down from Jerusalem up to Judea and Antioch, Syria, and then across the world. And our Bible, what we hold in our hands, is the Word of God. And it's important to know what the history where your Bible came from. Now, there's a lot of books out there. I think Ken's got some books over in the bookstore on where your Bible came from. And you know what? It costs people everything to have the Word of God. And they lost their lives because of it. And people sacrificed their families, their lands, everything to have the Word of God. Why? It was a crime to have the Word of God. If you were caught with the Word of God, you were killed and put in prison. And you don't know that sitting here in America. We're sitting here in America enjoying our lifestyle and all the freedom we have. And we don't realize that some of these men that sacrificed. Now, the early Christians knew the Roman Church was not Christianity. They knew that. But you got the Roman Church now trying to integrate all the religions of the world. And the Bible says it's going to be a one world government, one world religion, and a pope will be the false prophet. And, so I'm just giving you a little study here this morning, not preaching really, basically, but here it says, he's a priest in the Catholic Church. He began to realize the corruption in the church through their disregard for holy living and the use of the Latin Vulgate. It also, during the time at Cambridge that Martin Luther wrote his 95th thesis, nailed it to the castle church at Wittenberg. And Martin Luther was a priest. And he started reading the Bible. And if you got over in the bookstore, you got about a priest getting saved. His name was Alberto. You've got another guy that got saved in Canada. His name was Chiniki. And he got saved and reading the Bible. He was a priest, a Catholic priest. And he got up in front of his congregation and told them, I have to resign as your priest. And they said, why? He said, well, reading my Bible, I got saved. And he said, I'm leaving the Catholic Church. And they said, well, you're the only priest we know. You're the only one we follow. We're going to follow you. And he told them all how to get saved, and they got saved. The whole church, they left the Catholic Church. And he says there was multiple problems with the Vulgate. First, it was corrupt. The second problem is problematic. It was in Latin. And the common people, as well as many of the priests who were supposed to preach from it, could not read Latin. The Catholic Church did not see this as a problem. In fact, that is the way it was intended to be. They made their money off made-up doctrines such as purgatory. Right. How many of y'all have ever heard of purgatory? Purgatory is made up by the Catholic Church to make money. And it says, and if everyone would read the scriptures, they would realize the heresy of the church, and the church would lose the lucrative businesses. Our business. In 1521, now think about this, 1500s, 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue and founded America. And here in the same time in England, there's a controversy over the Word of God. And people are being killed for their faith. And they had a queen called Bloody Mary. Mary would kill Christians by thousands, kill them. And because why? She was a faithful follower of the church. Adolf Hitler was a follower of the church. A lot of men in history that killed Christians were followers of the church. Now, I got a picture of the Pope just went, Pope Francis went to the mosque and met with the imam, the one of the head imam in Egypt, and hugged him and kissed him and said, we serve the same God, and hugged him and embraced him to bring them together. We're living in a day and age right now, folks. If you don't realize, we're living in a day and age where it's going to come down to you're going to stand for God or you're going to stand for religion or not say, I'm not going to follow anything. Now, I'm going to stand for the Word of God. And you need to know what preacher said one time. He said, what people don't realize from history, they don't know history. And you don't learn this history. Used to back in the day, men would learn, as a young man, you'd learn a history of the Bible. And you would learn things about the Bible. But they don't do that today. Why? Obama started this new type of teaching, his wife did, and they're trying to get rid of anything that has to do with God, the Bible, or anything like that. But they'll allow Muslims to teach.
Right.
So look at here. He says, purgatory. If anyone could read the scriptures, they would realize the heresy of the church, and the church would lose its lucrative business. 1521, Tyndale began to return to Gloucester to be a tutor of children of John Walsh's children. He also preached regularly at the church of St. Adeline. And on one of the particular occasions, Tyndale was arguing with a visiting priest. He said to the priest, if God spared my life or many years, ere many years, I will cause a boy that driveth the plow to know more of the scriptures than thou doest. The rest of his life was used of God to do just that. In 1523, he went to the Bishop of London to seek approval and during funding for his translation work. Prior to Tyndale's, John Wycliffe was translating the Bible into English in handwritten copies, and the printing press has not been invented at this time. But even after this was great, since it was translated from the Vulgate, the reaction of the church to Wycliffe's translation was to pass a law that said possessing scripture was punishable by death. Since translating scripture was punishable by death, it is so surprised Tyndale got turned around. Tyndale began his translation work without the church's permission. And it didn't take long before his work outraged the church. He was encouraged by friends to stop translating. But while Tyndale did not want to lose his life, he couldn't stop his translation work, so he left England to continue his work. He arrived in Hamburg, Germany in 1524 and finished his translation a year later. While having his work printed, he was, this printing press came in, while the having it printed, he betrayed by the printers, and the print shop was raided by the authorities. Can you imagine that? A print shop being raided by the authorities, the rest, whoever was printing the Bible.
Right.
You're sitting here this morning with the Bible.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
And we got them all over the house. We throw them all over the place. We don't care about them. We don't read them.
Right.
But we find it. We have to search Sunday morning to find it to bring it to church. My kids went to a church. They said, God don't even use a Bible. They don't even have a Bible. They don't care about a Bible. And all these new Bibles are coming in to take away all that the main doctrines of the Bible.
Right.
That way, if you do that, the devil can deceive people.
Right.
You can't be deceived if you're reading the Word of God.
Right.
Now, it says this. Tyndale was warned and was able to escape with his translation to Worms, Germany. He was very meticulous about his translation. He used Erasmus' text and also used Luther's translation to double-check his work. He said, I call God to record that I never altered one syllable of God's word against my conscience. He said, on my way to Worms, he stayed in Wittenberg, where he spent a couple of weeks with Martin Luther. In Worms, his first New Testament was printed, and the first Greek to English translation of the Bible was published. He then went to Antwerp, where he was safer from English agents and the Catholic Church. Can you imagine them sending out the FBI trying to find a guy translating the Bible? My Lord, man. Like I said, it bothers us, it bothers me to know here we got Bibles and we don't read them. And you ask somebody, can you quote a scripture? They can't quote it. But you can quote the movie stars. You can quote the Pokemon. You know who they are. You know all the games. You know all the sports. You know every player. You know their status, their statistics. But when it comes down to quoting a Bible verse, you can't quote one. George used to get up here on Wednesday night and Sunday. He says, all right, we're going to have, got a song? Give us a verse. People couldn't do it. And we're a Bible-believing church. You ought to be able to hide the Word of God in your heart. Now, we're going to look at that in a minute. But let me finish reading this. Since Tyndale was a fugitive, how was he going to get his English translation to the English people? Not coincidentally, there was a famine in England in 1526, and suddenly England needed to import goods from the rest of Europe. This provided a great opportunity to smuggle Bibles without a lot of notice from the authorities. The Bibles were sold and given to people everywhere. We support a guy that used to go into Russia and Romania and all those. It's called the Couriers of Christ. And they had special cars that they would print the Bibles in the Russian language and everything, and had secret compartments to get past the border guards to take the Bibles. Now they don't have to do that, but to take the Bibles into Russia. Russia was the same way. If you were caught with a Bible, you were imprisoned. Why? Why is the Bible that much of a threat? The Word of God changes people. This provided a great opportunity to smuggle Bibles without a notice of authorities. The Bibles were sold and given to people everywhere. The church was outraged at his threat. In his translation, what they called a priest, he called an elder. When they translated repentance, he translated repent. So they did everything they could to confiscate the Bibles and threaten those who had the Bibles with execution by burning at the stake. That's where somebody was just reading Fox's Book of Martyrs, and they couldn't believe how many Christians they burnt at the stake and said, you've got to recant and recant from having the Bible, recant and confess that you were wrong, and then, you know, and we'll maybe you'll die and go to heaven. We're still going to kill you. So they did everything they could to confiscate the Bibles. This did not slow down the distribution of Tyndale's Bible, so they decided to try a different tactic, to buy the Bibles. The Bishop of London went out, bought 3,000 copies of Tyndale's Bibles, but he overpaid for them, and the money he paid went back to Tyndale and was used to print and distribute 22,000 Bibles. In May of 1535, Tyndale was having dinner with Henry Phillips, a man who had befriended him. Phillips lured him away from the safety of his own quarters and turned him into the authorities. He was taken to the castle. There he was tried as a heretic. He was imprisoned there in 18 months and kept in horrible conditions. Of course, as he was tried, they were also trying to get him to recant. They wanted him to say that he was wrong in what he was doing, and they wanted him to deny that salvation was through faith in Christ alone. You're sitting here this morning. We know the Bible says, for by faith are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It's a gift to God, not of works, lest any man should boast. They were trying to get him to deny that and say, salvation is in the church. If I got up here this morning and said, salvation is in our church, in the Baptist religion, you know, that's what a lot of Baptists do. And they were trying to get him to recant over that. And he says, 2 months later, they killed him. His last words, you said, what was his crime? Was he a murderer? Did he shoot people down, run them down in a truck for the name of Allah and Islam? Muhammad? His crime was translating the Bible so the English people could have it. You know what made America great? When the pilgrims came over, they had a Bible in their hand. Amen. Our laws come from the Word of God. Amen. A lady said on TV the other night, a guy said this. He said he's an imam in Detroit. He said the Bible and the Sharia law are the laws of America and the Sharia law go hand in hand. No, they don't. The Sharia law says a woman, if she claims to be raped, they have to have four witnesses, all men. And the Sharia law, if a woman's caught, they kill her.
That's right.
And the Sharia law is a lot of things. You're a heretic, you die. Sharia law, it doesn't coincide with the Constitution of the United States.
Amen.
He says this, 2 months later they killed him. His last words, Lord, open the kings of England's eyes.
Amen.
King Henry VIII came in and allowed the word of God, and then King James came. King James came and allowed the word of God to be printed. So when you open your Bible, in the forefront it says, the King of England. This is called the authorized version of the Bible, authorized. It was authorized by the king. The Bible says where the word of the king is, there's authority. And God allowed the King of England to say, I'm authorizing them to print the word of God. Nobody will lose their life because of it. Nobody will die for translating the Bible. We're sitting here today. People got problems. Christians are just falling by the wayside everywhere you turn. And they got problems, but they do not go to the Word of God. They will not look to the Word of God. They'll come to the pastor, which is fine. That's my job. I'm glad to do it. But get in the Word of God on your own and ask God to show you. Ask God to help you to grow. And that's the only way you're going to grow. You're not going to grow outside the Word of God. And you say, well, I just want to stay a baby Christian. I just want to be ignorant about everything. No, God doesn't want you to be ignorant about things. God wants you to know his word. If a dumb thump like me could read it, and my wife taught me how to read, then anybody can get it.
Amen. Yeah, amen, preacher.
And it says, his prayer was answered. 2 years later, King Henry VIII gave an order that a Miles Coverdale Bible be used all across America, all England. But then the King James came in. And that's where the King James Bible came from. I've had men tell me, even scholars in Bible schools try to say, oh, King James was a homosexual. They try to make all kinds of bad things about King James. I said, it makes no difference if King James was a homosexual or if he was bisexual or whatever. He just was the King of England and signed the authority. He wasn't. To sign the authority that they could print the Bible in the language of the common people so they could have the Word of God in their hands. You're sitting here this morning. You have a Bible.
Amen.
We see somebody get saved, we try to give them a Bible.
Amen.
We want them to read the Bible, but do they read the Bible? Are you reading your Bible?
Amen.
Coverdale's, I said Coverdale's Bible. I said Wycliffe, but Coverdale is similar to the King James. It says, you say, how come we didn't have the Great Bible? How come we haven't got Wycliffe's Bible, Coverdale's Bible, or Tyndale's Bible? Because they were all translated and they were handwritten. But when the king gave his authority to be able to translate the Word of God into every man, in the common man's language, so everybody could have the Word of God, there was no threat. So thank God we have a Bible this morning. So you're sitting here, and take your Bible, look at Psalm 119. Look at Psalm 119. Well, I was praying this morning, Lord, what should I do? This seems maybe to some of y'all this is boring. But it shouldn't be when it comes to the Word of God. Look at Psalm 119. I want you to underline these verses as we go through them. There's a whole bunch. Psalm 119 is one of the greatest chapters on the Word of God as well. And take your Bible, look at Psalm 119, and look at verse 9. Everybody, look at verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed to thereto according to the what?
The word.
The word. The way you learn, a young man especially, because the Bible says flee youthful lust.
Amen.
Young men's got hormones going crazy. Young girls got hormones going crazy and all that stuff. And even older men, I mean, they got hormones going crazy. Everybody's got today is sexual drive. It's a sexual generation, a sexual drive, and everything goes. And how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to thy word. You want your young people to grow up. You want your daughters. You try to protect them. You try to protect your children that they don't get into sin. It's still in them. It's in them.
Right.
Your little daughter, your little baby, your little boy, them, my little grandchildren, as sweet as they are and all that, they still got wickedness in them. That's why I always tell the parents, don't get involved in every petty thing your child gets involved in, especially with other teenagers. I mean, there's some things you got to get involved, some things you don't. And some things they can learn on their own. They need to learn. But if they go to God's word and say, Lord, if somebody does them wrong, pray for them. Say, Lord, I don't hate that girl. I don't hate that boy. God, save them. If they're saved, help them, God, to get right.
Amen.
And have the right attitude. Wherewith y'all shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto to thy word. Then he says, thy word. Look what it says in verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. When's the last time that you hid the word of God in your heart? Tyndale thought it was so important to be able to translate the Bible in a common man's language. King James translators thought it was so important to get the word of God in people's hands. We got printing companies around the world, in America, that's sending Bibles around the world. Why? Because the Catholic Church keeps them in darkness.
Right.
Religion keeps them in darkness. A Mormon will come to your door and they'll say, yes, sir. You say, are you a Christian? Oh, yes, sir, I am. And they'll have a King James Bible in their hand. Say, do you believe the Bible? Oh, yes, sir, we believe the Bible. Can I have it? They give you the Book of Mormons.
Right. Yeah.
They do this switch on you. And we give out Bibles and cost money for Bibles. What's his name? He's going to Africa, and he's getting Bibles printed. Brother Ken, Russell Wright, taking Bibles to Africa. He said the people, when they got it, they just sat there and looked at it and held it, cuddled it. The Word of God.
Amen.
I've seen videos of people cuddling the Word of God, crying because they got a Bible in their hand. Don't you know America? Why America is going the way it's going? Because we've turned our back on the Word of God. We've turned our back on it. We've got Bibles everywhere, but do we read them? Do we practice it? Look what he says. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You know why we keep sinning? There's no word in there.
Amen.
Now, we're going to sin, but you know what? See, when more of the word of God gets in there, the less sin is enjoyed.
That's right. Amen.
The less sin that you want to do because it makes you feel terrible. The Holy Ghost of God is being grieved. Look what he says. He says, look on down to verse 38. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. Establish thy word. Now, folks, I know we got to learn things. We got to learn things out. If you're going to make it living in this world, there's a lot of things you got to learn. And there's things I've got to learn, I've got to study to be able to find out things. If I'm working on something or trying to fix something, I pray. I say, Lord, show me, help me, and guide me, and direct me to the right thing. And the same thing should go in your spiritual life when you're reading the Word of God on a daily. I believe this. I believe you ought to read the Word of God every day. And some people just read a verse or two, and they all read the Word of God. And some people substitute the Word of God for something else.
Right. Yeah.
Now, we get that daily bread or the Baptist bread. You don't substitute the Word of God with the Baptist bread,
Amen.
Even though it's got the Word of God in it. You ought to have a daily regimen in your life on every day. It's just like you eat. You eat breakfast. Some of y'all maybe don't. You eat lunch, and then you eat dinner. And you ought to have a daily regimen where you at least eat the Word of God one time a day.
Amen.
At least one time a day. At least. Maybe pray more all day if you can. But at least one time a day, you ought to be reading your Bible and spending at least one chapter. If you can do more, do more. But you're not going to grow. You're not going to resist sin in your life if you don't hide the Word of God in your heart.
Amen.
And guess what? Your kids are watching you. Your kids are following you.
Amen.
So if you don't, if you disregard the word of God, guess what they're going to do?
Right, amen.
They're going to do the same thing. Whether you want them to or not, you think, well, that's the church opportunity. That's the church responsibility. They only spend, in a Sunday school or a junior church, they only spend probably 2% or 3% of their time. They spend the rest of that time, 95% more or less, 95 at home or at the public school. You've got to, man, the kids, you got to encourage them to read the Bible. They got to counter that stuff that they're being taught. They got to counter that stuff that they're seeing on TV. They got to, man, now they got their phones. Everybody's got a cell phone, and they got smartphones. They can look at all kinds of filth and stuff. I'm telling you what, man, this stuff has got to be countered. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. If they don't have the word of God there, they won't have no conscience about looking at that stuff. None. They'll just look at it and think nothing about it. And a lot of adult Christians are that way. No conscience about looking at it. I mean, man, it used to be a day when women blushed. Today, they got to put blush on. Because some of them curse worse than the sailors. Establish thy word unto thy servant that who is devoted to thy fear. Look on down. Look at verse 71. Or actually, that's not the one. Go over to verse 89. There's a whole bunch of them. There's a whole bunch. I just wanted to take this time, kind of like a Sunday school thing. I wanted you to take this time to look at this thing. And maybe you get convicted about reading your Bible on a daily basis if you're not doing it. If you read it once or twice a week, and then you come to church and you open your Bible, then that's not good enough, folks. That's not going to help you grow. And you're going to stay a baby Christian, and anytime somebody says something about you or your family or anything, you're going to be upset, you're going to be ready to blow up and ready to quit and leave and all kinds of stuff. You got to get a tough, like I heard a preacher say this. He said, you got to have an alligator hide with a tender heart when it comes to this world and when it comes to even other Christians. Forever thy word is settled in heaven. Look on down to verse 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Look, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. So the word of God is a guide and a light unto my path. The word will guide you. It'll direct you.
Amen.
If you'll look at the word of God. Like I said, he wrote just a brief summary about Tyndale. Tyndale thought it was so important to get the word of God in people's hands. Gave his life for. We look at that today, Christians today look at that like, what a waste, stupid idiot. We don't know what it was like in that day where people were sacrificing. You know why he wanted that? The Bible was chained to the pulpit at the Catholic Church. If anybody was caught reading it, they were put in jail.
Right.
Why? If you don't let people read the Bible, you keep them in bondage. And what the devil will do to you, if you don't read your Bible, he'll keep you in bondage.
Right.
Thy word, the entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Look what he says. Order my steps in thy what? The Bible says a good man, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So your walk in life, God will direct your life by his word. If you'll walk in his word, he directs your life and shows you. Even though at times you'll say, man, it's foggy. I don't understand what he wants me to do. I don't know where we're supposed to be or what we're supposed to do. But then you keep walking, and finally the clearing comes, thy word. He says, the entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Order my steps in the word, and let not iniquity have dominion over me. The more you spend time in the word, the less the bondage and iniquity reigns in your life.
Amen.
The more time you spend watching TV, I watch Fox News. I watch News Channel. I look for Israeli news. I want to see what's going on with Israel. I want to see other things. And I try to keep up little things, but not. I don't sit around and watch wicked movies.
Amen.
Everybody's got to watch a movie, and they got to go see the movies. Got to go to this new movie just came out. Got to go see that movie. And you get this mindset, I've got to watch these movies.
Amen.
I bought them. And you get that mindset. I'm not against you watching a movie as long as it's clean.
Amen.
I went up to a Christian's house. I was preaching in New York. And this guy says, man, you got to see this movie, man. There's no cussing in it. First couple words was, my wife yelled down there and said, turn that off.
Amen.
It was one shot, one kill. It was F words through the whole, F bombs all the way through the whole thing. And a guy, I'm sitting there watching it thinking, man, it's killing me. I mean, all this stuff. But I didn't even pay attention to it. My wife said, turn that off. I said, yeah, she's right. Turn it off.
Amen.
My wife had to be the one to rebuke me over it.
Amen.
Sometimes, guys, you can listen to your wife.
Amen.
Amen. Look at 140. Thy word is very what?
Pure.
Look with me. Psalm 119, 140. Look at it. Everybody get there. Thy word is very pure. The word of God is pure.
Amen.
And the Bible tells us that God keeps his word.
Amen.
Wouldn't it be terrible to get to heaven and you don't know no Bible? And the Lord comes up and says, how come you didn't live for me? Well, I didn't know. Well, you could have known. And you say, well, Lord, I was busy. I didn't have time. And then the Lord takes your life and shows you all the times you wasted watching movies and doing this and doing that and doing this. And he said, you could have known it. You could have known it. Your life would have been better if you'd have learned it. But you're too stinking stubborn and hard-headed. I wanted to know the word of God. I couldn't read it, but I wanted to know it. I didn't want to take some preacher's word for it.
Amen.
I didn't want to take nobody's word. I wanted to know what the word said.
Amen.
So I started, man, I stayed day and night, going to work, man, memorizing, and going at night, falling asleep with my head into my Bible, asking God to give it to me, help me to understand it. So I've had people say, I just don't understand it. I didn't understand it either. And man, after a while, entrance thy word giveth light. I started reading the Bible, and all of a sudden, it started going, wow, check this out. Look at that. I started going, woo, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Lord, that's good.
Amen.
The more you read it, the more it opens up to you.
Amen.
God wants to see if you really want it.
Amen.
Most Christians don't want the word of God. They think it might make me a holy Joe. I ain't never seen a real holy Joe. I ain't never seen one. Boy, if you show me a holy Joe. Say, you're so full of God that you ain't no earthly good. I ain't never met nobody like that.
Amen.
You teenagers, you going to make it through this life?
Amen.
You young couples, you going to make it through this life? Have raising a family? You better read your Bible.
Amen.
You better read your Bible with your husband and wife.
Amen.
You better read your Bible together. You better sit down with the kids, read the Bible to them. And we did that. I read the Bible to my wife when Samson was in her womb.
Amen.
When Samson was just a baby, I'd read the Bible to him. I did the same thing with Josh, but didn't help out. No, I did. No, but I read the Bible. But what happened was I got so busy in life, I noticed as I got busy in life, I didn't spend as much time with my kids with the Word of God.
Amen.
And it tells. It tells. The Word of God will change your thought life. I've had people, I don't know how many times I've had men come to me, and kids, teenagers, say, preacher, I can't think of nothing but wickedness.
Right.
All I can see is wickedness. I mean, women, I said, my brother, my dad used to show me all kinds of wickedness. It's still there, but the Word of God filters it out.
Amen.
Well, it suppresses it. It's still there. Your mind is like a computer. It's there. And I was in the shower the other day, and I thought about something I did years ago, man. I mean, it's been 50 years ago, maybe. No, it wasn't that many. 45 years ago, before I got saved, I thought about at a party. I thought about these stuff, and I'm in the shower crying. Say, oh, God. I'm sorry. God, have mercy on him. I did him wrong. Man, that's God, the Holy Spirit, dealing with your heart.
Amen.
I did him wrong, God. Save them. Don't let them die and go to hell because of me. The Word of God's able to do that and get it under the blood. The Word of God is sweet. Thy Word is pure. Therefore, thy servant loveth it. The Word of God is pure, folks. God's Word is pure. You don't have to doubt God's Word. He says in 148, look at this. Mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. Mine eyes, you know who's writing this? David. He said that mine eyes, he said, my eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. When's the last time you spent time and just read 10, 20, 30 chapters of the Bible? Just read it. You know what? When you do that, you understand it better. Yeah. If you read one chapter and say, well, I read my chapter today, I did my duty, you won't remember nothing. Yeah. It's just like, you know, it's like if you went to a restaurant and you said, I want this steak, I want a porterhouse steak, I want a baked potato, and I want corn, I want bread, and I want this something. They came out and they gave you a little steak about that big. And they gave you a little baked potato about that big, and a little bit of corn, and a little bit of bread. And you said, what's this, man? That'd be $30. You want it all. The Word of God is meat, vegetables. You want to get as much as you can. Look what else it says. He says in Psalms 162, we're going to stop here. We'll finish up this chapter. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great what? I hate and abhorred lying, but thy law do I love. Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Notice that verse. The more you get in the Word of God and the laws of the Word of God and the things, he says, if you love his word, you love his law, you love what God says, nothing's going to offend you. It ain't going to bother you. People are going to say, and I'm going to say this, among Bible-believing Christians, we hurt each other more than anybody else. We hurt each other. It shouldn't be that way. We should be encouraging one another. And somebody's reading the Bible and spending time in the Word of God, you expect them to be the ones that's going to encourage. He says, for I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. Psalm 120. Man, the Word of God is able, the Word of God is able to cleanse us, is able to feed us, is able to strengthen us, it guides our steps. And people sacrificed to have so you could have it. People shed blood. They were burnt at the stake. When he said, Lord, open the eyes of the King of England, they were killing him. Amen. When's the last time you thanked God for the word? Amen. When's the last time you spent time in the word, reading it, studying it? You know, the Bible says, it says, give attendance to reading. The exhortation, the doctrine. When's the last time you spent time reading the Word of God? Man, I see people everywhere, and I've been guilty of it, walk around with their cell phone. They spend so much time with that cell phone. And I've gone and left my house and forgot my phone and turned around and went back. And then a couple of times I left the house without my Bible, and I didn't go back. And then I got convicted about that. So when I left my phone a couple of times, I said, I'm leaving it. Leave it. My wife would say to me, you don't really need it. And then since she don't have her phone, she'll go, I left my Bible. I mean, I left my phone. We get so attached to the phone. I've had people say, well, I read the Bible on the phone. I tell them, I said, that's good, but as a testimony, you ought to have a Bible in your hand. Nobody knows what you're looking at. You could be looking at pornography as far as they look at it. But if you got a Bible in your hand, they'll say, I've had people say, what do you got in your hand? Bible. Amen. My boss, the guy I work for part-time, he called me up, or he texted me the other day, asked me about some money for the Suburban I was buying from him. And he goes, He says, have a nice weekend. Praise the Lord. And then he goes, ah, you like that, huh? Ha, ha, ha. Then he, next text, he says, I know, I'm going to hell. I text him back. I said, you don't have to.
That's right, amen.
He texts, well, I got a lot of friends there. I said, the Lord doesn't want you to go there.
That's right.
He, Jesus Christ, died for you, so you wouldn't have to go to hell. Yeah. He goes, all right, thank you, have a nice weekend. That's enough. Right. When's the last time you spent time in the Word? I could go through a whole bunch of things on the Word of God. When's the last time you just spent time? I tell you this, I'd say, I would pray this morning and say, Lord, I'm sorry for taking your Word so lightly. You say, are you going to pray that? I'm praying that. I'm sorry for taking your word so lightly. When so many people sacrifice. The Bible says, Jesus said, he said, the word of God is settled. It's settled. When you take God's word so lightly, we have problems and we still don't go to the word of God and ask God to help us. God forgive us. We got on that sign out there, Faith Baptist Church, Bible-believing church. If you were the last one here at Faith Baptist Church, say we all passed away, and you're the last one sitting in here, somebody came in here and said, can you help me? Can you show me from my Bible how to be saved? Can you show me what the Bible says about heaven? Can you show me about hell? Can you show me about those things? Could you do it? We're sitting in these pews. We're sitting in this church. Could you take the word of God and show somebody confidently how to get to heaven? What the Bible says about their soul, where they're going to spend eternity. Father, my Father, forgive me for taking your word so lightly at times. Lord, reading about these men in Fox's Book of Martyr, reading about these men that sacrificed and gave their lives for the word of God. And there's Christians right now dying for their faith. They're dying, ISIS and Islam, even the Catholic Church. God, people are dying for their faith. My Father, I pray you forgive us, Lord. Faith Baptist Church, God, forgive us, Lord. And I'm not praying, we all need to pray individually. But, Lord, I'm just praying as a pastor of Faith Baptist Church, forgive us for not loving the Word of God. Not being, the Word of God not being so sweet to our lips and taste and wanting to know more, wanting to study it more, and my Father, and allowing you to speak to us through your word. My Father, forgive us. Lord, help our teenagers decide that they're just going to get in. I thank God for the ones that are reading their Bible is evident in their life. They're wanting to live for you. They want to do right. They want to serve you. That's evident, those that are reading the Bible. But I pray, God, help us all do better. Help us do more. As Faith Baptist Church, help our young people, help our older folks. God, help us not to just say, well, this is a thing we do on Sunday, and then throw it in the window and leave it there. Help us spend daily time with you. That's how you speak to us. And Lord, I pray, God, help us to pray. My Father, I pray you save that one. Thank you for the two that got saved yesterday. Thank you for all the kids that got saved at camp up there. My Father, in camps down in North Carolina and other places around this country. I pray for Michael Shane and little Earl and Austin as they're going to be going to Kentucky for another camp. I pray you bless them. Help them to get in the word. Help them to seek you, Lord. Help them to get a burden more for their lost loved ones and for their friends and their family here. Help us all get a burden, more burden for our family and our loved ones here. My Father, I thank you again for your mercy. Thank you for the book. Forgive me for taking it so lightly. We got so many of them. Thank you for it. Thank you for the men and women that sacrificed and gave their lives so we could have the Word of God. It was a crime to be able to have the Word of God. And now, Father, we live in a free country. Help us to appreciate what you've given us. Thank you for the freedom that we have. Men and women died for us to have that. Thank you, God. And, Father, bless our services. Lord, bless tonight. God, help our folks today have a good Sunday and be able to rejoice knowing that our names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank God that you got a book there with our name in it. And God, thank you for writing our names down when we trusted Lord, your Son as our Lord and Savior. Now, say that one now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Well, bless